there's a much more can be said than what we've heard. Lord, make me fully alive. As we've been speaking on various subjects concerning Lent, some of those have a tendency to make us sober and deal realistically with sin, confession of sin, things of that nature. But I'm glad that the gospel message has much to motivate us to be joyful. And when I saw the scripture that was recommended for today's message, I immediately got happy. Ephesians chapter 2 always has a psychological effect on me. It picks me up. Picks me up because Paul taps in on one of the greatest resources available to any human being, and that is how to get in touch with God and remain above life's circumstances that gets you down. He speaks to us from the perspective of heavenly places and how to get there and stay there and understand what's going on there. We all understand something about perception and perspective. And on this level, we look at each other, we are confined within four walls. All that we can perceive is what we see in front of us. But if we were suddenly elevated to 1,000 feet, we would see much more. We would see us, but we would see other things. We would see other people. We would see other circumstances. And that is the idea that Paul's trying to convey here to the people of Ephesus, to help them understand that when you're a Christian, life does not have to become stale, stinky, or stuck. Everybody say stale, stinky, or stuck.
Stale, stinky, or stuck.
What doesn't have to become like that? But we all know that it can be, and so he reminds them that they are not what they once were, and they were dead. In trespasses and sins, they were in line for God's wrath, children of wrath. They did dead works, but now we are transformed by the power of God, and we are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. To understand how to capture this perspective, we have to capture the position. New perspective comes from new position. And he reminds us of the position Jesus Christ has, and then he pulls us up in heavenly places to relate to Jesus. We understand that position from the last statements of chapter 1. Where is he in position? God raised Jesus from the dead, seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. And to help us understand that, it says that it's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but all that in which is to come. How far is far? Somebody tell me. How far is far? If you use the word far, what are you talking about?
Not here.
Not here. Good. I like that. In other words, those circumstances in life in which I have the opportunity to allow Satan to trap me, to tempt me, or to keep me down, they are here, they are real, they are realistic. But Christ gives us the ability to mentally remove ourselves from them and capture his ability, his perception of them. And immediately we are given this picture that already, in contrast to the reality of these and the intensity of them, and no matter how difficult they are under the feet of Jesus. All things are under his feet. And we are invited to take our place, our position with him in mind and spirit, But sit down. I love that statement, sit down. I'm kind of individual. I'm not going to stay on my feet more than I have to. Now, I know some of you say you can sing better standing up. I can. I can sing better sitting down. And I know what you're thinking. You can't sing. You can play. I'm just telling you which I can do best, which isn't good in your opinion. Sit down and relax in the presence of Christ in life with all the circumstances, position. Position of authority. Now, in this position, to get the perspective, proper perspective, we have to realize several things. And I already mentioned that the one we're seated with is Jesus Christ, who is in a position far above all principality and power. But now he has put all things under his feet and gave Christ to be the head over the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Quite a profound statement. I'm going to leave it alone for the moment and come back to this thing of being seated in heavenly places with Christ. And remember this, he has raised us all up. All. Everybody say all. Look at the person next to you and say, that includes you. And don't forget, that includes me. All. This is so helpful. None of us is there by our own ability. We are created for good works. The good works are a result of being there, but they didn't get us there. What got us there was an act of God's grace in which He sent Christ to earth, and He personally defeated Satan through His suffering and death. And when He was finished defeating Satan, there was not an ability left within the power of Satan to overcome us. It was all whipped, not in control. And therefore, because it is all whipped and under his control, he is inviting us to come within the domain of his authority, submit to him, declare him Lord of our life, and recognize one thing, that every other Christian is there also, whether they understand it or not. And every other Christian, we need to view as not down there. I'm here and they're there. They haven't got here yet. Oh, yes. You are there. You might not realize it. And so what we need to do is encourage one another to live the life of victory and to understand that it was by His grace, which is a tremendous ability. Grace has within it an ability to pick us up and to help us understand and enjoy things that we do not deserve or can we obtain by our own ability. They are given to us as a gift from God to sit in heavenly places, to look at Him and thank Him and praise Him, that our destination is heaven, not hell. It's not going down. Our destination is not to be put under by the things of earth, no matter how difficult, impossible it may seem. We are not dealing with natural ability, and we have the ability in Christ to overcome any other ability that the devil has, which may seem bigger than us. That's quite a row, wasn't it? Did you get it? You better get it. We can have fun while we're there. Amen? This is a place to enjoy life. It's where the happy Christians live. Now, we are realistic that things in life do not make us happy. And that's why we look around and realize that since it was His grace that got us here, we have the ability of grace to have grace with each other as we find in our weaknesses and in our ignorance, we still are playing around with dead works. Follow me? I am in this position because of one thing only, by God's grace. And may that humble me to the point never to look down at anybody else, no matter what they struggle with. But to realize they are in that position too. And God had grace with me and still has grace with me. When I stumble with dead works, please, Jim, have grace with everybody else. Have grace. Now, what is the comparison between dead works and living here? And the Lord gave this to me last night. I had this sermon prepared previously. On Saturday evenings, whenever I can, I enjoy one full hour of the Gaithers. And their programs vary a bit, but the one last night took me in heavenly places in a hurry and kept me there. I mean, that's glorious, isn't it? I mean, my troubles were all gone. I mean, life was great. No matter what I thought about, it was a positive. So when the show was over, I thought I would search for something else. And I found a movie that looked good. But 5 minutes into that movie, I became aware that this movie had to do with dead works and trespasses and sins and all that, like most movies do. Now, I was tempted to, in 30 seconds, could have justified every reason why it had been okay for me to watch that movie. But I knew better than even going into 30 seconds of it. Because if I wanted to remain in heavenly places, I was not going to boggle my mind with the dead stuff. And isn't it interesting that temptation is such a stupid thing? What temptation is telling you that you're going to benefit from doing something that you never benefited from before, and you did it 100 times before and never benefited, but this time you do it, you'll get fulfillment, it'll take you places you've never been, and you'll be a great person, you'll know things you never knew, there'll be sensations and all that balloon. That's what temptation is. I'm drawing and craving to me. I'm doing it, I'm enjoying it. And you know, many of these movies are the same old thing. 25% sex, 25% violence, and 50% on reality. People don't just live in the glamour that those people live in, the average person does. And we're stupid enough to watch it and call it entertainment. Why? Because we are vulnerable to temptation, and there is a devil that's real and alive and knows where we are vulnerable, and unless we admit it and say, I'm not going to fool with dead works. I don't need to. I'd be better off reading my Bible, no matter how dull that seems or how much I'm motivated to do it. It's so much easier to sit down and watch the TV, isn't it? So, we have the choice to stay with a positive perspective in a position with Christ or leave it. He is still with us. Have you ever thought about the reality of all the junk you take the Lord through? Oh, it's wonderful to know He never leaves us forsake us when we need Him. What about when we don't think we need Him and we submit to temptation? He's right there with us. He certainly doesn't enjoy some of the baloney I took Him through. And He's there, faithful to us. Think about that. Think about that. In this position, we, as Christians, are experiencing many privileges because of Jesus' present status as Lord of the universe and head of the church. His present position was earned by His obedience to His Heavenly Father. His followers are called to positions in His church with the same demands made on us as were placed on Him, although not as intense in His specific calling to be the Savior of the world. But then, to remember that regardless of the position of our calling, whether it is within the church or the calling of a mother or a father or the calling of some position in the workplace, position is usually defined because of its need and because of its function. But regardless of how we do it, we still have the position. In other words, the pastor staying at Mennonite Church is still the pastor, no matter how he does the job. He might not be the pastor very long, but he's still the pastor. That's position. You're a father. What makes you a father is because of your abilities to be a father and father a child. But that does not necessarily mean that you're doing a good job or doing it the way God wants you to. we are called, we are His workmanship, called to do good works. And I'm saying this morning that we can only do and produce good works if we keep reminding ourselves of the position we are in with Christ, and we do our good works from a perspective of heavenly places. Recognizing, as we talked about this morning, it was so fitting for to connect with this message of praising the Lord and saying things and doing those things mentally that make us conscious of God. Because God is with us everywhere what we're doing, and if we're in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in all that we do and say in 24 hours a day, then we need to work at practicing communication with Him. Practicing communication with Him. Praising Him and blessing Him for His grace to us, and then, as life so beautifully gives us opportunity, extend His grace to others. And as we sit with Him, and we begin to understand things from His perspective, He sees it, the broad picture. We see such a small picture. But we've attempted to move from just us and Christ and then understand everybody else is involved in this picture, and it's an interaction together in this position that accomplishes His purposes, which are there at the end of chapter 1, to fill the whole world with His glory and presence. Now, in our Sunday school lessons, we talked about His glory and presence being in creation. But His glory and presence in creation will not save anybody. The salvation message is to be carried out by individuals like you and I. These people who are, as He calls them, the children of disobedience, children of wrath. You see, as I watched that show last night, I realized I was observing children of wrath, who, in their behavior, were doing things that invoke the wrath of God, which are intended to entertain me, in which Satan says, that's okay just to watch you enjoy that. But we have to remember that all these, this behavior that is disobedient to God's moral laws invokes the wrath of God. Likewise, if we are going to condone it and enjoy their behavior ourselves, what might that do to the wrath of God upon His children who are sitting with Him in heavenly places? I think we need to understand something about the judgment of God. We have a God that can get angrier than any human being can get angry. But we are in the time of grace and compassion in which He desires that all men should be saved. And so we must lay hold of His holiness and righteousness and joy and grace and realize that in this position, regardless of which one of the ages to come, I love that, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us in Christ. He's saying that in every era of history, in the future, there is extended to humanity this opportunity to sit with Him in heavenly places and to enjoy His presence and to convey to others His wonderful grace and mercy and love and power. That is His call to the church, that is to fill all of the earth with His presence and power. Now here's the beautiful thing about it. From a limited perspective, we see so much of Satan's work. Amen? And if we're not careful, we get overwhelmed with that. And we wonder how in the world humanity is going to make it through the wars and the evil people and all of that. But when we leave that and take the mental trip to the heavenly places, we understand we are seated with one with one who has control of all of this, and there is nothing he can't see, or everything involved that Satan is doing is already under his feet, and he needs instruments of righteousness to stand up by his authority and power and joy and happiness and defeat the works of the enemy. This is his body, his church, and we are called to do that. This morning, we want to lay hold of one of the things that the Lord gives us the privilege of doing, in which we expect his presence and power to reach through and bless someone because of a need. Peggy is going to have heart surgery on Friday. How many of you want to see God just bless Peggy, carry her through that experience? And this is the joy of being a New Testament Christian. He says that any of you who are sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and they will lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Do you believe that this morning? That's our privilege of laying hold of all that and simply doing the good works that are designed for that situation. Isn't that glorious? And we can do that and expect God to bless and heal and minister and everything else that he wants to do. So we're going to do that at this time. I ask Peggy and Nelson to come forward. And I would ask the body of Christ to gather around them, lay your hands on their shoulders, on each other's and form one united body. Before we anoint with oil, I want to do this. I want you to ask God to search your heart. I'll never forget in one experience I was in, I didn't know this. I was going to be called upon to be involved in an anointing service. There happened to be another pastor there that I didn't have good feelings toward. And I was praying, Lord, help me deal with this today. So this is how the Lord set it up. The pastor of the church called us together and he said, now, Jim, before we have the anointing service, I would like you to ask God if there's any reason why he can't touch this person today. I said, before I ask God, I think I have a little reason here. And I immediately reached out to my brother and made things right. Let's take a minute and say, folks, is there any reason because of attitude or something in your life that God can't touch Peggy? I want you to bow your heads and deal with that with the Lord. But if there's a person here that you're having a problem with, I'm just saying, be free this morning and say, look, reach over and say, look, I need your forgiveness. I've had a tough time. Search our hearts, Lord, and know our ways. We come and first of all receive that cleansing from you. We might enter this experience with a pure heart. That nothing would stand in the way of you reaching down and bringing pain completely on, with or without the surgery, Lord. We know you are not limited. But we trust you, Lord, that a week from now she'll be free of this infirmity. So we learn her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lead us to your word, and we trust you, God, to put your loving arms about her and hold her close. Be with Nelson. Draw them close together as husband and wife. Strengthen them and encourage them at this time to work out all the details. For this we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. And thank you for this privilege. We ask you if anyone else wants to pray, feels motivated to pray a special prayer, would you come and do that?
thank you for your touch and your presence upon her being. We pray that you would reach deep within her spirit, soul, and body, and shower your love and your presence ability to deal with every needy area and bring it to completion in you. For your name's sake, we pray.
We have some work to do before us, and I had looked at the leader's guide, and they had a session for children. So we don't have very many children, but Stacy has brought a friend here. Stacy, what is your friend's name?
Allie.
I just they suggested a little children's time, and they even suggested a song. And after this message, we heard this message of extending this grace to others. So one of the things that I heard Jim say, that we can extend this grace to others that he has given us. And I don't know if you noticed the note at the bottom of the bulletin, God will never take you where this grace of God will not protect you and go with you. And the song that they suggested for the children is Into My Heart. And I ask that we're going to sing this song, and as we think about this, and as we get opportunities to witness from time to time, that we may understand how Jesus wants to come into our heart and into our life and our spirit.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into me, come into me, come into my heart, Lord Jesus.
Does anybody else have any other words of assurance or words of sharing this time before we take up the offering? It'll take a short time, and if you have some things you want to share at this time. Yes, ma'am.
I had you pray for Darlene last week because she had an infection coming up. And then she called me Monday, and she said that her infection was on Wednesday. And she said, I didn't expect it so soon. I said, well, I hadn't prayed for you too.
Okay.
So now she can think about getting her blog.
Okay. Okay, we'll continue to pray for Diane and one of your friends, Darlene. Other, anybody else?
I'm not very close to her, but anybody
has a relationship with me. Okay, so David Duncan here.
I bring greetings from the Mennonite ladies of the area. I went to New Waynesboro yesterday. Viola Saul, some of you know, missionary from Jamaica, shared some very moving experiences, and I just felt a welcoming love that's been broken into small groups, and everyone has very good feelings about it.
Next weekend, the chamber singers will be traveling to Maryland and Pennsylvania and singing a number of concerts there. So safety as we travel, and that those concerts would go well.
Okay. Chamber singers, me and you.
Already that Andrew Bryce's husband passed away while we were prayer meeting at 7:05 at prayer meeting up Wednesday evening. And he was an elderly man in the nursing home.
Lord, we bring these concerns and praises before you. Lord God, be with each one as we rest in your peace and your promises of love and caring. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll ask the ushers to come forward now. We will take up the offering. And we'll have a closing song led by Matt here.
Like to stay seated that time.